In Christ's name this morning, glad to be here again and worship with you. So I was thinking of what I was going to preach on this morning, the devotions being transformed. He brought up the illustration of the caterpillar going into a butterfly. And I was just thinking, if we, as we are transformed from what we were into what we are now when we take on Christ, we are going to be totally different. It ties into with what I have to, somewhat with what I have to say this morning, taken out of Ephesians 6. I want to talk about the whole armor of God. And I was just thinking that if, as we are transformed from what we were and conformed unto what God wants for us, we're going to have this whole armor of God on us. I want to read verses 10 to verse 18. Now I'm just going to go down over verse by verse and bring out, talk about it, and hopefully we can find some encouragement, some helps, and it's a very familiar passage, but I was encouraged as I studied it and read down over it. Ephesians 6, verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." So we think back, study into the armor used in Bible times, early history, what the Israelites would have used. A lot of times they had full body armors. Plus they had a shield and they had a sword. But as they put on this armor, it was used to protect them. It was used to keep their bodies from danger, from whatever, from the arrows from others or whatever was thrown at them. They counted on it to keep them alive. The armor about them kept them from getting hurt. They also had a sword on them to throw at others, to take care of the enemy, to take care of what was coming at them. And the shield, they could deflect whatever was thrown at them. And then you think of as this armor that they had on them, if they really trusted in that armor, if they really believed that armor was going to take care of them, they were a lot more confident to go out and face their battle, to face their enemy. And they didn't think about turning around right away. We need to face our enemy head on. We cannot turn around and run. This armor that we have on this morning, I do not think covers our back. We need to face whatever our trouble or trials Satan is giving to us, whatever God is allowing to come into our life. Starting with verse 10, first of all, we need to realize that this strength we have this morning is not of ourselves, but it is of God. It is beyond ourselves. It is not something that we need to put forth enough of strength of ourselves. It is not something that we just need to work at long enough and we're going to finally be able to make it happen. But it is because of God. We need to be strong in the Lord. God's strength is inexhaustible. It is limitless. We can tap into the supply by asking for it. We need to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. On verse 11, putting on the whole armor of God. I think it says it a couple times, but this is the first time. Put on the whole armor of God. We don't put on part of it. We don't put on what we feel like it. But we need to put on everything to be able to stand against the devil and his tactics, to be able to resist the tricks of the devil. We cannot expect to win this morning by being half-hearted or only going halfway with God. We cannot hold anything back. I also see a conscious choice of putting it on. It's there. We have a decision to make whether or not we'll take God's armor and put it on. We have this armor at our disposal, and we have a choice to make what we're going to do with it. When we are transformed from what we were before, this armor becomes ours, but it's still not going to do us any good unless we have it on. Going to verse 12 talks about what we are fighting against. It is not something that we can see. It is not flesh and blood. It is not physical in nature. But it is a dark power against great wickedness, against the supernatural sphere. It is against, we're human in this body. We like to touch things. We like to feel things. We like to see things. But this is basically all against, goes against our human nature. So there's not a whole lot. There's nothing we can bring of ourselves to be able to withstand what we are fighting. Go on, verse 13. Talks again about putting on the whole armor of God. Because of this major warfare we are in and continuing to encounter, we need to put on this whole armor of God. Not part of it. Not what we think is important. We cannot miss any part of it, I don't believe, and come out victorious. We plan to come out on top. We need to put it all on to be able to stand our ground. You don't want to go down this morning because of a piece of armor that you forgot to put on, that you didn't want to put on, should I say. Because we thought we knew better. Because I thought that I'm weak in this one area, you know, maybe I ought to put this on, but I never have trouble over here. So I think I'll be okay. All it does is hold me back anyway. Remember that this armor, it says the whole armor of God. It is not something, again, that man came up with. Matthew 16, verse 18, and I say unto thee, as Jesus speaking, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God will be victorious. Satan will not get the upper hand with God. But if we want to be part of that, we have to stay in God's will. We need to take on this whole armor of God. Nothing is going to thwart God's plan, but we can become lost. We can become out of God's will, out of His plan, if we lose sight of the goal, if we lose sight of what God wants for us. Go on to verse 14. Starts with a part of the armor. Having our loins girt about with truth. My mind went right away to, sometimes we'll talk about, you know, absolute truth versus relative truth. And this is not a relative truth, but it is grounded, truth that's grounded in the Word of God. We need that truth wrapped around us at all times. We need to have it about us, this thing of having our loins girt about with truth. It is about our waist. It is totally wrapped around us. Anytime we leave this absolute truth, we're going to have nothing to ground us. We'll become, as James says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If we are grounded, we don't need to waver. Jesus said in his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, in John 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. If we have God's word in us, if we take God's word and apply it and keep it in our hearts, we will have truth about us, because God's word is truth and he cannot lie. Came across a thing talking about absolute truth. Truth is defined as being truth that is defined as being absolute possesseth the following qualities. Truth is discovered, not invented. Truth is transculture. It can be conveyed across different cultures. Truth is unchanging. It can be conveyed across time. Beliefs cannot change a truth statement, no matter how sincere one may be. Truth is unaffected by the attitude of the one professing it. All truths are absolute, and truth is knowable. You know, how often does it seem like truth keeps moving? But it's only in people's minds, only in my mind. Like, you know, this is where it was years ago, but now it has moved, and it's like, that's not true. In order for truth to be absolute and holding these qualities, it must be grounded in a source that is personal, unchanging, and sovereign over all creation. And who can that be but God? Do you believe that about this truth this morning, that is unchanging? And do you have that about you? The breastplate of righteousness. As a breastplate this morning, it covers some of our most vital organs. It physically would be like the heart and lungs, some of those. If we don't have God's righteousness this morning, we have nothing to live for. Isaiah 64, verse 6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. This cannot be a righteousness that we have come up with. It cannot be because of the good works that we have done. But we need to take on the righteousness of God. As it says there in Isaiah, that anything that we try to come up with is as nothing, is as a filthy rag. We can be victorious as we take on the righteousness of God. Verse 15, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Here again is a very vital in a physical battle. To have feet that can carry us, to take care of our feet, to not have sores on our feet is very vital, so that we can stand. If we aren't standing, we probably aren't going anywhere, and not much will be happening. We have to have the gospel of peace. If we have sore feet, we're not much else is going to matter. We need the good news of peace, and that is God's word. That is salvation this morning. We have received the peace of God when we accepted Christ into our hearts. I believe that first time that you gave your heart to the Lord gave you peace. You had to make a decision to follow God. You had to make a personal decision to follow him. But I think as time goes on, we start having to fight for that peace. We have to go out and fight to keep that peace, and it can work with God's help. If we have peace with God, we're going to be at odds with Satan, and we need to fight him to maintain our peace with God. Verse 16, taking the shield of faith. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The shield of faith. It is a must. It is a It is a peace that helps us, what does it say? Ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. This will help us to thwart off the enemy's tactics, the darts that he sends, the fiery darts, the things that are trying to get past the shield, get into our through our armor and hurt us. As small as the shield may be at times, it still works. If we have faith in God. Matthew 17, verse 20, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mount, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. I believe faith is our first line of defense. If we can stop what the devil is sending to us with our shield, it's going to save us a lot of trouble. We can have this faith, we can have this shield of faith and believe that God is there and able to help stop whatever your temptation is this morning. We don't need to succumb to that. I think of this shield of faith partly as almost the most important thing. They're all important, but it's because faith, what does the Bible say? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And isn't that what the devil sends a lot to us? We can't see it. We don't always know it's coming until it's there. We don't always know what's going to be the next thing, but we know when it hits. And if we have this shield of faith, it is going to go a long way, because God is going to be there to take care of those things maybe before we know they came. Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 17, the helmet of salvation. This morning, salvation, we need to accept it from God. We can't earn it. I wanted to read Romans 5, verses 8 to 11. Romans 5, verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. We receive this salvation, this gift, by faith. And Christ, it says, Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. Christ died on the cross. Christ shed his blood. And now we can be a part of this salvation. Without this helmet, without this piece covering our head, the rest of the armor would not be much good. To receive a blow to the head is going to make everything else of no use at all. And I believe, I mean, that's in the physical sense, and I believe that's in the spiritual sense also. Isn't there many, if not all, things that come into our minds first, things that come in through our heads, come in, and from there it permeates our whole body. In our minds is where our thoughts begin and materialize in good, or our heart. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 8 and 9, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that we are saved by God, and thus able to defeat all of Satan by God's help. And as we have on this helmet of salvation, we've taken Christ into our lives, and we are in Christ, as Tristan said this morning, we can be free from sin and be able to fight off what comes our way. Verse 17, also, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Here again, I believe truth comes in through the Word of God. Hebrews 4, verse 12 says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Jesus, when he was tempted, used the Word of God to defeat Satan. There is nobody that is going to be able to defeat the Word of God. As it was coming out this morning, our Sunday school lesson, that so many people stumble, overlook, or whatever you want to call it, at the headship order, and that's not because God worded it wrong. That's not because it wasn't said right, but because we, not sure why, do we not take it for truth? Do we not take it as the Word of God? We can also use scriptures this morning. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." This Bible, the words of God, they are fit for whatever time you find yourself in, whatever predicament, whatever circumstance you find yourself in, you should be able to go there and find an answer. If we believe in the truth and infallibleness of God's Word, we can use it to thwart all the things, all the temptation the devil sends to us. But the moment we start questioning, we're going to become weak and struggle. There are times, I want to differentiate the difference between discussion and questioning. If we start questioning that what is in here is truth and what is in here really means what it says, we become weak. We need to discuss it. We need to talk about it with others and be searching for an answer. Verse 18, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." Prayer is a must. This isn't necessarily maybe one of the pieces of armor, but I believe it goes along so well. It is our only link to God. Our only personal link, I would think, to God, and it's very vital in our survival this morning. God is listening. God is wanting to hear from you. God will hear your plea for help to him. Found this phrase also while studying. You can make, I found it in relation to praying always. You know, we start going down the line of, you know, we have to always pray. Do we always have to? And I found this quote: "You can make prayer your life and your life a prayer while living in a world that needs God's powerful influence." Do we have a life? Are we living a life that is prayerful? We don't necessarily consciously always stop and pray. I believe we do need our quiet moments. We do need our closet moments that we pray to God. But then God can go with us and we can be in a prayerful spirit, I believe, throughout the day. God should be close enough to our heart that we can feel him in every heartbeat. That he can, as we make decisions as we go about, he is there. He is in our life. And all these things back up through the verses, I believe, will come in place. So I was thinking, I think it was the Sunday I preached at Hepburn Street, was the Sunday we talked about Christian liberty in our Sunday school lesson. And we have this we talk about this Christian liberty because we are in Christ, because we, compared to what the Old Testament people had, compared to what they were coming out of, we have this liberty in Christ, yet we need to follow this whole armor of God. We need to follow, well, this whole word of God, what God lines up for us to be able to make it, to be able to be victorious, because we are not our own. We can have liberty in Christ, yet we need to do a lot of things. We need to do a lot of things that, as a human, we don't like to do. We are bought with a price. So I said before, as I think of this armor of God, is something we need to put on. It is something that we need to make a conscious effort. And I do not stand here thinking that it is an easy thing to do. It is not a light thing to carry, but it is very necessary. It is also not an item that we throw away, that we discard and pick up one at the next intersection, but it is a way of life. It is something we have with us at all times. It is something that we need to have on at all times if we plan to be successful. So I just hope this morning that you can be encouraged again with this familiar passage. We can have given our hearts over to God. We can be transformed. We can have on this whole armor of God. And then we can be victorious. Let's kneel for prayer.